Evening, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this Tuesday, April 17th, public meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, and welcome everybody here. If everyone would please stand with me and recite the pledge, and then Pastor Kroll will give the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please bow your heads with me. Lord God, once again, we give you thanks for the beauty of the snow that we don't expect at this time of year, Lord, but we still enjoy the beauty. We trust, Lord, that everything will be in bloom soon, because you're the one who brings the seasons. We thank you for all those in service here in the town, and pray, Father, your blessing upon the commissioners. I ask that you would give them wisdom, sense of unity, ability to discern when it comes to the projects going on, the budget to be presented, all those things. Father God, we ask your blessing on these men and on the county, and that we might be a blessing to this region. We ask it all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Knoll, are there any additions, deletions to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir, there is not.
Hearing none, we have motion to approve the meeting agenda.
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Motion is second. The agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, concerns to the minutes? Hearing none, we have motion to approve.
So moved.
We have motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion is second. Minutes approved by mutual consent. All right, first item on the meeting agenda is a proclamation for the National Day of Prayer. I thought maybe that was the one. That was right on cue. I do want to recognize Pastor Barbara Rexroad and Pastor Kroll. They oftentimes come to our meetings and help us with our meetings, and I know they're involved in the National Day of Prayer. So I would like to read this proclamation and then ask Pastor Rexroad to come up and accept it on our behalf. Pastor Kroll is more than welcome to join her. Proclamation for the National Day of Prayer, Prayer for America, Unity on May 3rd, 2018. Whereas National Days of Prayer have been part of the country's heritage since the first one was declared by the Continental Congress in 1775, and whereas leaders of our nation have relied upon the power of prayer throughout American history, and whereas throughout our nation's history, leaders have urged citizens of faith to pray for our land and those who defend our freedoms at home and abroad. For many, prayer is an important part of their daily lives, and today we join people across our country in uniting in the National Day of Prayer. Now, therefore, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim May 3rd, 2018, as a day of prayer in Garrett County, and do commend this observation to all of our citizens. In witness whereof, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, set our hands and cause the seal of Garrett County, Maryland, to be affixed the 17th day of April in the year of our Lord, 2018, signed by Commissioner Seinbald, Tishnell, and myself. And if you guys would come forward.
Yeah. Jim Schaefer, can I ask you to take some photos with my phone?
If you guys want to come up on.
Yep.
We can do that.
Just touch the camera and hold it around.
I'll be able to get the camera up on.
Yep.
That's it.
You guys got to get closer. You all got
to get closer. Yeah, you got to move it a little bit.
One here.
Okay.
That's very good. Okay. Count of three. One, two, three.
Pretty close, Price. You just got under your teeth in there.
One more time.
It'll be bleeding from my head.
I'm sure one of those will turn out.
Good.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you, guys.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gotta get something there.
All right, next item is the Arbor Day proclamation. And I have a big, long proclamation here. I want to welcome Melissa Nash from DNR. If you want to come forward.
And also Mike Minnick, the chair of the county board's here.
All right. Welcome. This is a proclamation from Governor Hogan. Arbor Day, April 4th, 2018. Whereas Arbor Day, which started as a grassroots holiday in 1883 in Nebraska by J. Sterling Morton, encourages citizens to plant new trees to beautify existing landscapes and help secure the health of our environment. Whereas Maryland's forests constitute some of our most valuable renewable and recyclable resources, providing timber for industry, habitat for wildlife, watershed protection, clean air, and improved water quality. Whereas most wooded areas in the state, as well as ornamental trees, are privately owned and operated under stewardship of interested citizens. And whereas this year marks the 135th celebration of Arbor Day in Maryland, and its commemoration serves as a fitting tribute to our mighty trees. And whereas Maryland is pleased to recognize many conservation organizations, civic groups, and concerned people who have joined with the Maryland Department of Natural Resources Forest Service to wisely plant trees for the future. Now, therefore, I, Lawrence J. Hogan, Jr., Governor of the State of Maryland, do hereby proclaim April 4th, 2018 as Arbor Day in Maryland and do commend this observance to all of our citizens, signed by the Governor.
And we would like to present each of you with a red spruce seedling in celebration of Arbor Day. So we can get, if I get some amazing pictures.
Plus, we also give out seedlings to third graders in the county, too. And along with other various programs we have through the Forestry Board, we can give people seedlings and so on. And come visit us at the fair. We'll be down there this year.
So. It should work.
Giving out free trees?
Yeah, yep. Okay. Maybe you can win a free tree.
So we would like to present each of you with our red spruce. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Mike, do you want to
hold your tree up in the picture?
Yeah,
I don't know about that. Not for your face, but
okay. One, two, three. I'll do one more for you. One, two, three.
Okay. All right. I want to thank you guys for all you guys did. Dude, appreciate all of you guys.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. I just give
thank
you.
Thank you.
I'm just kidding you about the
noise. That's all right. I take it every day. Follow me in. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
All right. Next item on the agenda is Garrett County Purchasing Department. Brian, what do you got?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have one contract award for your consideration today. This is to hire a consultant to prepare a historic structure report for the historic section of the Garrett County Courthouse. The purpose of this report is to document the existing history of it, the current conditions of it, including the systems, mechanical, all those type of systems, and for recommendations on improvements that can be made to keep it, to preserve it, to keep the historic nature of it preserved. And it will also assist us in some form with hopefully securing some grant funding in doing that. So with that being said, we did accept proposals on February 27th. We received a total of 6 responses. A 4-member selection committee did review those responses. We also checked references of the recommended consultant. As a result of all of that, we are, as a committee, recommending awarding the contract to Stiffman McGraw Architects. Total contract amount of $27,500. There is an appropriation in the current fiscal year budget, the amount of $30,000 to cover this. And Stiffman McGraw anticipates completion of this report by October of this year, October 2018.
Questions?
Questions?
Hearing none, do we have a motion for RFP number 18-0220 to award to Stiffler McGraw Architects for $27,500?
So moved.
A motion and a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the Garrett County Department of Economic Development. Cindy, the Appalachian Regional Commission project request review. I'll turn it over to you.
Commission, I should just take one. Good afternoon. At the end of May, we had sent out correspondence soliciting projects for the Appalachian Regional Commission funding, and we do have an opportunity today to hear presentations from applicants of their various projects. I'll do a brief overview of the projects and then have them an opportunity to comment. Wanted to say that with these projects, there's a regional ranking that occurs with the Board of County Commissioners, and then it goes to the Tri-County Council for Western Maryland, which does a regional ranking. And I'm so glad that Amy Jacobs in the back was able to come today and listen to the presentations. We appreciate that. Just for a quick overview with Appalachian Regional Commission funding, they have five basic goals: economic opportunities, ready workforce, critical infrastructure, natural and cultural assets, and leadership and community capacity. Those are the categories for that. And just a quick overview of the projects. Appalachian Regional Commission, ARC, or you could call it ARC, has two different types of funding. One's area development, and the other's local access road funding. So there are two local access road projects proposed to the Board of County Commissioners on behalf of the project Kaiser's Ridge Business Park Local Access Road Phase 3, with a request for $580,000. And then there's a second one for Glendale Road Phase 2A safety improvements with a request this year for $420,000. And then in for the area development funding, this requires a minimum of a one-to-one match, 50-50%. And we received, there's a project provided by Engage Mountain Maryland, and we have Mark Sussman here today, regarding the Adventure Capital Welcome Conference, and that is requesting $25,000 of ARC area development money. And we'll give an opportunity to comment on those in a little bit. And then also for area development, we have the Chautauqua Park West, and that is requesting $183,000 in area development money this year, and then the same amount in the two subsequent years. And that is from Garrett County Community Action Committee, and Dwayne Yoder's here today, and he'll be able to provide additional information. Then we also have Do the Loop Auto Lane to New Germany Trail segment. This is proposed to the Board of County Commissioners. The request is $220,000 in area development funding. And then we also have Garrett College as the applicant for its project, Community Education and Performing Arts Center, known as CPAC. And we have one request for U.S. Economic Development Administration funding, and the request is $3.785 million. If EDA does not provide consideration of funding for that project, they would like to be able to access ARC area development funding for a portion of that project. So that's just a brief overview of the preliminary project descriptions that were received. So going back to the first area development project mentioned from Engage Mountain Maryland, Mark Stutzman, if you would like to provide some additional information, you're welcome to stand up there or come up here.
Is it possible I could use the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on.
Thanks.
When Mark's getting ready, we have some pamphlets that are, we gave Mount Maryland on the project that he's been talking about. So if you'd like one, just pull up your hand and.
Actually, Mark, while you're setting that up, I could probably ask Dwayne Yoder to present. Okay, it's ready, okay.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mark Stutzman. I'm with Engage Mountain Maryland. And we came up with this economic initiative through the organization called Adventure Capital. And the reason we were developing this was we wanted to first acknowledge what some of the problems were in Garrett County. We wanted to increase our full-time residence population. As you know, we have a lot of visitors that come here, but they're not full-time residents. We want to retain the young talent that's in the area, young graduates. And we also need to attract families because our populations in school have been stagnant or declining. And a way we saw to do this was something we call rural sourcing. It goes under several names, low-cost domestic insourcing, farm shoring. There's a lot of different names for it that you'll see. We refer to it as rural since we're a rural location. And what it is using broadband technology to bring businesses to a rural area. A lot of these places like call centers, data processing, back office support can happen in densely populated metro areas where it's very costly to do business. We feel that it could be done much more effectively in a rural location, and I'll go into some more reasons why. We also fit the model for this sort of business. We're within 6 hours' drive to the largest population in the U.S. We're native English speaking. And we're also in this Eastern Standard Time Zone, which is surprisingly important because a lot of businesses, when they're trying to, if they're offshoring and maybe they're working with a company in Asia, they may have a very limited window of operation where they're actually open at the same time. So we call it business migration and a culture flux. So say there's a business that's looking to expand or maybe move a division of their office to a third floor in a building. Instead of them moving to the third floor, they could easily locate that business here. And it might not be a huge population, maybe 25 to 50 employees. They could also set up shop here and then tap into some local resources to fill out their workforce. So really we're talking about bringing these people here initially to set up shop and then grow from that point. And we're trying to present Mountain Maryland as kind of a modern rural location. It's a place where people like to live. You'll see a lot of people that even leave this area eventually come back. It's a getaway for a lot of people for vacation, but why couldn't that be part of everyday life? And you can turn the outdoor adventure into a positive for anybody that's working for a company. And studies have shown that people that are in cramped spaces, office spaces, often experience stress. That can be really alleviated by moving to a place like this where it's more open. A lot of things are more affordable as far as office space and even certain accommodations for people looking for to be a first-time home buyer, and the reduction in stress combines that human resources and natural resources component. So say you've struggled to purchase property in a expensive metropolitan area, that's much more affordable in this area. There's also extracurricular activities for children and things like that that are more attainable here. And so your family income goes a little bit farther. And it could also be looked at as an incentive for employees if a CEO said, let's see a show of hands of how many people would like to live in a rural location and still work for the company, you could get a lot of takers that are looking for more remote lifestyle. And a lot of it is very cost advantage. There's a cost advantage for employers. And surprisingly, it could actually be through lowering attrition rates. Because these sort of broadband-based businesses that might be data processing and jobs like that that are kind of repetitive, that the average lifespan is about 18 months, and the cost to employers can be extensive for training. They average about $4,000 per employee, can be more for upper level and less for the blue-collar worker. And the high attrition rate is oftentimes associated with poor quality of life, which could be long commutes to work and cost of living. To try to get closer to work, the cost of living generally goes up. So another component to this is we met with Garrett College, and they're very excited about the opportunity to actually build workforce around new businesses that would locate here. They are in the process of completing the new STEM building that would be closely tied to any industry that is broadband-based. This overall cost reduction is another advantage to a company where it could actually free up capital for them to invest in other ways or even expand their business. So the funding that we're looking for is to fund what we're calling an X-Spend conference. And this name comes from a company that is no longer spending what they used to spend. And the way we hope to do this is to have a VIP, fully paid CEO come to Garrett County, probably around 25, and then open it up for other people that would like to pay to learn more about Garrett County and all that we have to offer. There would be keynote speakers. There would be people here that would present, say, from the college and county government to tell what all of the incentives are for business to come here. Also do adventure tours so they could fall in love with Garrett County. And we had an initial meeting about the conference, and we're also talking about having it fall right before the Art and Wine Festival, so anybody who would like to stay through the weekend, they'd get a pass to go to the Art and Wine Festival and get a really nice experience of what it's like to live in Garrett County. The idea is to get them to fall in love with Garrett County and just sort of have it, after they leave the conference, have Garrett County haunt them to the point where they say, I need to do business. And then I'll close with this quick commercial that we have. Well, I think I lost my link. Well, there's some pretty good funky music that goes with this. And it's really geared towards young people. We're appealing to the CEOs, but they're most likely employing people that are more in the younger range, so we want to make it look as exciting as possible. And there's a lot to do in Garrett County that appeals to the younger demographic. They like outdoor recreation, which Garrett County is known for. And you just get a taste of what it would be like to live here. And turning vacation day into every day is something that a lot of people would really, it would appeal to them, and also the quiet solitude, which some people are also looking for in living rural. And the traffic is another thing that a lot of people are going to complain about. Local foods, that's something that's important to a lot of people that are looking at a rural life. And then also our local cultural events. Some people might have always dreamed about living on a farm, which isn't necessarily possible if you live in Metro DC area. And of course, we have to look like we have fun here, don't we? So are you offering jobs or a lifestyle? And that's a real important aspect to this whole program. So if we can get CEOs here and show that this is a lifestyle that people enjoy, Garrett County has a lot to offer in that way. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, John. Thanks, sir.
Larry, you wait, Mark.
Well, thank you, Cindy, and thank you for this opportunity. What we're looking at and what we're asking for is a consideration of $183,000 from the development fund, ARC development fund. And what that will accomplish, we think, is allow us to proceed with a 77-unit workforce housing development, primarily located in three of the towns in the Oakland area, Lachlan, Mountain Lake, and Oakland. 21 of those units, of those 77, would be new. They would be new homes built in Oakland. And the focus is on workforce housing. The existing units in Mountain Lake Park and Lachlan are developments that need to be upgraded and extended in terms of their life. Those have rental assistance. The ones in Oakland would not. And in fact, the county contribution through ARC would enable us to do some unrestricted workforce housing units in Oakland. So that, when I say unrestricted, that means not income restricted and would be market rate. We believe that given where we had made application a year ago to the state for a reservation of tax credits, which represents about 70% of the investment that is necessary for this project. Tax credits are incentives to private investors to invest in the project. So about 70% of this money would come through the tax credits from private investments, assuming we get the reservation of the credits. What's important is this is getting the credits is extraordinarily competitive. And we lost out last year only because we didn't have a transit-oriented area here in Garrett County. In this year's process, we were able to convince the state to change that criteria, and they now include demand response system as a transit-oriented development. So we gained those 8 points. We also gained 4 points by having some of the units unrestricted in terms of income. We believe that puts us over the edge, and we'll get that. So the ARC money really is what triggers the unrestricted units and allows us to, I think, proceed with the total project, which will attract about $20 million of investment over the term of the construction. So just from an investment point of view, it's pretty significant. It also results in 77 units of workforce housing in this area. So that's essentially the concept, the process. It's consistent with the ARC, the ARC goals and strategies. It's consistent with your economic development plans. It's very consistent with the revitalization plans that each of the towns has adopted. And, you know, we have been repeatedly, we're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of comments from businesses, employers, and economic development people about the importance of providing workforce housing that isn't necessarily income restricted at this point. And so this will, in part, achieve that as well. So that's the project in total. Cindy mentioned that we're looking at $183,000 from ARC in this round. To make this really work, we would probably be back in the next 2 years with a similar request as well. I don't know if there are any questions or not.
How many unrestricted units?
Eight. The new units in Oakland will be very much if you're familiar with Liberty Mews and the units that we built at Liberty Mews, they would be almost identical to the Liberty Mews units and would be located in the same, at the same site.
Dwayne?
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and mention the tax abatement?
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Yeah. The in addition, which is not really a part of the ARC grant, but over the years that we've developed all our rental housing developments, we've always asked the county to provide a three-year property tax abatement while we're going through the construction and getting them, getting those units full. So we'd like to ask the county for a property tax abatement on the new units, not on the existing units, but on the new units as we go through this process. And this is something that, that we've done over the years for all our projects. We've made a similar request to the town of Oakland, and they, a year ago, when we didn't get the reservations, had made that, had approved that. Thank you, Kevin. Forgot about that.
I'm going to go ahead and ask the commission to act on that request.
Dwayne. Thank you.
So we have a request on the table from Community Action for a three-year tax abatement beginning the first year. Would be FY 2021. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yeah, 20.
For three
21.
Years. For the 21 units of new family housing at Chautauqua Park West. Any questions or discussion about that? Motion to approve.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion, a second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Also, we have Kathy Mayer here from Garrett College. Do you want to make a few comments about Community Education Performing Arts Center?
Sure. It's as you guys know, it's a partnership between the state and the county, funding-wise. And I believe Commissioner Heimbaugh's recommendation, it went through, it's going through the ARCS middle for additional funding, I believe, to help offset some of the county expenses. We're in the very beginning stage. We have to embark on finding an architect for the project, which we hope to get in county partnership as far as once we get into design and development of the project.
And the money from the state, the 11 million, is actually committed in their budget. So congratulations on that. And then also the final area development project, do the loop. From the Auto Lane to New Jersey segment, the board of recommend that the board of county commissioners consider application for funding, requesting $220,000. And with me, who has taken the lead for all the trail projects, is Garrett Trails, and we have good representation back here with Ashley. Mike, did you want to make any comments regarding that project, the Eastern Continental Divide Loop?
They don't want to hear me.
You're right.
Well, commissioners, as you know, we've put a lot of effort into this idea of the Eastern Continental Divide. When it's finished, it'll be 150 miles of hiking, biking, and paddling. This past year, we just used up a bunch of grant monies that we got about 4 or 5 years ago. And as we were continuing, we ran out of money. We ran out of money on one stretch to get us over to Otter Lane. And Garrett Trails, because of Grand Fondo, because of Race Up the Face, and because of your participation in helping us, we were able to write a check for $49,000 to finish out a section of that trail. What this request is for us to get through from that point over to what we call Phase 3 over on the other side of New Germany Road. When that's completed, we will actually establish an interim trailhead right off of I-68 behind Chestnut Ridge, and people can begin to hike or bike. In most cases, this will be biking, and it'll go from that point about 13 and a half miles over to 495. So this is a pretty critical piece. Yesterday, I was in Somerset talking with the Great Allegheny Passage and the ATA people, to try to continue to get them to begin to pay more attention from the Pennsylvania line up to Myersdale, which is where our connector is. Very successful. They're now re-energized, and they're ready for you commissioners to meet with their commissioners and begin to talk about that, since we're going to do the 219 project. So this is a pretty important segment for us, And we are hoping that ARC will help us out, and then this will also give us some more leverage, maybe with a couple other possibilities. As you know, we still own the rail bed from Jennings to the Pennsylvania line. We do have the stretch on River Road identified as a part of the Eastern Continental Divide, so we're pretty excited about this piece. So it'll be very helpful if you guys look at it in a favorable manner.
No match funding for the county is being requested on this. Proposed match funding is from the Maryland Heritage Area Authority and the National Recreation Trail administered by the state of Maryland. And with the two proposed local access road projects, there is no required match from the county. So that concludes the projects.
Steve?
I'll just add on up. One of the reasons when we had this project originally was for economic development. We have all kinds of ideas and things that were going to happen. A couple of weeks ago, when at the grand opening for Ella's Enchanted Treehouse, I was kidding with the owner, said, you know, we brag about you guys being here because of the trail right up on Meadow Mountain. She goes, well, that's actually true, that we did locate there is one of the reasons, because it was close proximity to the trail. So the trail's not even finished, and we've already been generating economic development. So I just kind of wanted to point that out. I thought that was really cool.
Thank you.
Well, Paul, we were talking earlier, and we've had this discussion several times about what a great job Garrett Trails has done in terms of developing the trail network in the county. I mean, I go to Fork Run frequently, you know, the Swallow Falls to Harrington Manor. There's just a lot of really, really nice trails. Some were here before you started, but those have been upgraded and improved, and a lot of new ones. So they've done a great job with it. We went from a kind of an informal ad hoc group of volunteers to now I would say a very well organized, I would say well led organization, but that's a stretch. Are you still president?
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, you're welcome. But it's great. I mean, they have done a lot of, if you haven't been out and looked at those trails, you should go try them, because they're really great. And it encourages a healthy, you know, healthy, like Mark took, the outdoor lifestyle and everything there. I would encourage you to get out and try them out.
And I think we're a lot closer on the trail from the college to 219 now, too, which you guys obviously are very integral with. I think we've cleared the church hurdle, I think. So it looks like that's going to start moving as well. So.
The only other thing that maybe Cindy was going to mention this, and I didn't give her a chance. You know, there's some really good projects here. And she mentioned there's two categories of money we get from the Appalachian Regional Commission on an annual basis. We get area development money, and we get access road money. The area development money, I think, we used to get somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 a year.
That would be the average. It's $1.5 million for all three counties.
Correct.
For the area development.
And there are times when we've had an agreement among the three counties where one county got a larger share, and then the next year we kind of balanced the books and all. So my reason to mention that is these are good projects, but they're not all going to get funded this year. You know, so we've got, depending on what Allegheny and Washington County do and what kind of trading Cindy can do.
No pressure.
Yeah, we're gonna get maybe 500-600. Maybe we can get 700. We bribe Guy and Leanne. But I wanted to compliment Cindy, because when we first shot at this process, we didn't have a lot of projects. And if we went with the initial submissions, I think I'm right about this, we were going to leave a good bit of money on the table. And we don't want to do that. We love Allegheny and Washington County, but we want to get as much money through this as we can, because it's a 50-50 match. The access road money, as she pointed out, is free. There's no match. So it doesn't make sense not to ask for some things and put some projects in. Another way of saying that, not all of them will get funded, but the remainder then will be in the hopper and in order for next year. Or if Allegheny and Washington County drop a project for some reason, we're in a position where we can get another one funded. So thanks for all the work. You did a lot of scrambling the last few days trying to pull some more projects together. Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy.
access road. You want to mention local access road projects?
No, I did want to summarize that the pot of money for Appalachian Regional Commission for that's $3 million for three counties. And so an average of $1 million per county.
We have two projects.
$1 million. Those two requests, $1 million.
Okay. Any other questions for Cindy or any of the projects? All right, moving on, we're now at the time in the agenda for public commentary. Does anybody have any questions or comments? All right, seeing none, I do want to remind everybody that at 5 o'clock we will reconvene for the budget presentations for our interagencies, roads, DPU, et cetera. That's open to the public, anybody wants to stick around. Otherwise, our next meeting is May 7th. Here at the courthouse. So, nothing else, a motion adjourned.
So moved.
Thank you.